Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. If you're using a Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1201. And beginning with the 24th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 31. Once more, Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 31, page 1201 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read the verses responsively. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Father, you've been good to us. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for the wonderful services of the past 2 days with our graduations. And thank you for our young people. And thank you that this church holds great hope for the next generation with such fine young people. We pray that you'd bless and help us today. Now we have our usual Sunday morning service. And the fact that we usually do it does not mean that it's not unusual, for we expect once again an unusual outpouring of your Spirit upon us, an unusual power with our preacher, and help us to be unusually alert to the message, to the preaching of the gospel of hope. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, what Romans 8:28 does not say. What Romans 8:28 does not say. It does say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now this morning I want to speak on what it does not say. Our Heavenly Father, I want to help our dear people today. The young people that walked across this platform Friday night and Saturday morning and Saturday night have not yet, many of them, face the realities of life. But those of us who sat in the pews have faced these realities again and again and again. Bless, I pray, our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Graduation time is traumatic for me, because to you, they're just a bunch of kids coming across the platform, except that one particular one that's yours or your friends. But to me, almost every graduate represents a story. You don't stay in a church almost 36 years and watch two generations grow up without every time you look at somebody, almost you know the heartache that they bear. I wish you could have been in my mind Friday night and Saturday night as our own kids walked across. I saw young people walk across this platform who've been forsaken by their fathers, reared by their mothers. I saw young folks walk across this platform that haven't seen their fathers years and years and years and may never see them again on this earth. I saw young folks walk across this platform whose fathers have passed away, some whose mothers have passed away. I saw young people across this platform who sat in the office and cried while mom and daddy were contemplating a divorce. And then the divorce became a reality. You see, life is real. And the realities of life are not the beauty of a graduation exercise or a wedding. I want to be helpful this morning, and this is a very pastoral kind of a message. I want you to listen to me very carefully. What Romans 8:28 does not say. Romans 8:28 does not say that all things work together for fun to those who love God, to them called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28 does not say that all things work together for pleasure to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Listen to me now. Everybody listen to me. Romans 8:28, hear me carefully, does not say all things work together for prosperity. You may be having a tough time financially and you say, well, Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. That does not mean you're going to get rich. That does not even mean you won't stay poor. It does not say all things work together for health to those, to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It does not say that all things work together for gain to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. It may be that you can love God and do His will, and you may spend a life of loss, or a life of illness, or a life of poverty, or a life of sorrow. It does not say all things work together for good, according to my idea of good. I may never think it's good. And I may say Romans 8:28 is not true because it did not work together for my good. But that says I see good. But you see, I don't know what good is. Only one knows what good is. God does not say that I will see the good. It simply says all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It does not say all things work together for fun. It does not say all things work together for pleasure. It does not say all things work together for prosperity. It does not say all things work together for good health. It does not say all things work together for good, for gain. It does not say all things work together for my idea or my concept of good. It also does not say that all things work together for what man calls success. It does not say that at all. It may be that what we call success is not what God calls success. So God does not promise me that if I love Him and do His will, that things will become what men count successful. It does not say all things work together for a pastor that he'll build a big church somewhere. He may be out in the country somewhere and have five or six prospects. It does not say that. It says all things work together for good. And I'm not talking about as I see good, but as the omniscient Heavenly Father sees good. It does not say all things work together for enjoyment. It does not say all things work together for what others call good. It does not say, get this now, it does, listen to me now, it does not say all things work together for present good. It does not say that all things work together for good in my lifetime. It does not say that I will live to see the good that all things work together for if I love God and if I do His will. Hear me carefully. It does not say that everything will be good if I love God. It does not say, hear me this now, it does not say that any one thing will be good. It does not say that there will be any single good thing as I see good ever happening. Oh, you stay for the house. I love God. I've done His will and things haven't worked out right. Things haven't worked out yet. I mean, the worker out are still working out. need Brother Colston this morning. I understand Brother Colston's hungry. I'm going to feed him this morning. Colston, this is going to be to wash the food down with. Everybody needs a little something to wash the food down when they have a good meal. So I want you to come and here, I want to feed you this morning. Right here. Okay, I want you to just take a swallow of that first to get the appetite all fixed up.
Right now?
Yeah. No, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, Brother Colston. That's buttermilk. All you Yankees don't like it, but everybody's right with God and loves it. Now, Brother Colston, I want to give you a little something else here I think you'll enjoy. That's a little too much there. About a quarter teaspoonful of salt.
Oh, that's too much, too.
Wash it down, man. If that didn't taste good, things are going to get better, Brother Colston. That was a little bit dry, so I got some shortening here I want to give you. This is Crisco shortening here. I want to give you a little bite of that here. Wash it down, man. You enjoying your meal?
Maybe this will help.
You got a little sick stomach. Baking soda is always good for a sick stomach.
Bring it on, yeah.
Okay, here's a little baking soda here for you. Wash it down, man. You enjoying your meal? I got something else for you here. I got a little flour here I want you to have. Go a little flour here to that baking soda. That's good.
How you doing, Brother Colston? You hate me.
Okay. Drink a little more of that.
Yeah.
You know what you just had? Biscuits. Thank you. I was going to give you a real biscuit this morning. I went by and bought some last night. All you got to do is put them in the oven and you don't feel very good, do you? You want some more buttermilk, Brother John? Now, I was going to give them a real biscuit, but I went by and bought it. And I had about 8 in a can. I got a little microwave in my office. And I cooked 8 one at a time, but I didn't think. If you smelled. The fire department almost came out this morning to my office, but they all ended up like my wife said. But anyway, I'm going to get it. But now, wait a minute. Not a single one of those ingredients tastes good. Not a single one. Shortening didn't taste good, did it? How about flour? Did it taste good? How about salt? Did it taste good? How about the baking powder? Did it taste good? Buttermilk tastes good? You're nothing but a grapher. There are people all this country starving to death, and you're complaining about what you... I fed you biscuits. Now, folks, listen to me. It may be that not a single ingredient in your life is savory. But my Bible says there's a way that can work together for good. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. Talk later when you get home. Listen to me now. Listen to me. My Bible said that the ingredients of life may not taste real good separately or individually. But if you love God, I didn't say if you watch the soap operas, I said if you love God. I didn't say if you listen to dirty rock music, I said if you love God. And you do His will. I didn't say in His will, I said do His will. A lot of people right in the middle of the geographical will of God doing nothing to obey the commandments of that book. My Bible says that every single ingredient of life
will blend together for good if you love God and the called according to our old story. I've got to tell it because it's too good an illustration, and it's been years since I've told it. But it's an old story. Many of you heard it, but hundreds haven't. I was in Jacksonville, Florida, preaching. Brother Lester Roloff and I were preaching together under a big 2,000-seat tent. Brother Roloff preached that night, and I preached last that night. After the service was over, we were preaching at the Normandy Baptist Temple in Jacksonville, Florida. And had a big crowd, about 2,000 people that night. Brother Lester preached, then I preached. I told Brother Roloff, I said, once you're going back to the motel, I'm going to stay and pray a while here in the tent. I just feel like I want to pray at the altar. So I turned all the lights out except one little 60-watt light bulb in this big 2,000-seat tent. And I knelt to pray in the altar. And while I was praying there, everything was dark in the altar, but just a little bit of light. You could see a shadow is about all. And the big tent was, oh, my soul, it was 150 feet long, I'm sure. And I was sitting there praying for God to bless the service and services and so forth. And all of a sudden I heard a voice. Dr. Hiles? An old man in his 80s came up and he said, can I talk to you? And I said, yes, you may. He said, I'd like to pray with you. I notice you're praying here, and I'd like to pray with you. I said, why, sure. He said, I'm a Baptist preacher. The fellow was white-haired, he was short, back was stooped. And I said, look, you go ahead and pray first, because I was a young man at the time. And I said, you go ahead and pray first, in deference to your age. The old man began to pray, and this is what he prayed. Dear Lord, I hate flour. I hate flour. I looked up to see if the guy was crazy. Anybody over 68 usually is, you know. And he said, dear Lord, I hate baking powder. I hate baking powder. Dear Lord, I hate salt. I hate salt. Dear Lord, I hate shortening. Well, so far I agreed with him 100%. You agree, don't you? He said, dear Lord, I hate buttermilk. I hate buttermilk. Then I knew he was crazy. And then I looked up at him, and a big smile came across his face. And the old man with the look of heaven said, but put them all together and put them in the oven and warm them. Not the microwave. And I sure do like hot biscuits. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't complain. If you love God and if you're in God's will, quit complaining. It's going to work out for good. I say, if you love God, now, you folks that don't love God, you better grab up a storm, because you don't have the promise. You folks that don't care about the will of God for your life, all you want to do is have fun and have pleasure and eat and drink, be merry, worry yourself sick, because you got a lot to worry about. But my Bible said, if you love God and do His will, everything may not taste good individually, but put it together and it's going to work out for good. Doesn't say all things work together for fun, pleasure, prosperity, health, gain, my idea of good, what man calls success, enjoyment, what others call good, present good, does not say all things will work together for good in my lifetime. It simply means this, and listen to me. If I love God and I'm doing His will, somewhere, sometime, there's going to be the finished product that all these ingredients have had a part in making. And somewhere, sometime, all the tears, all the laughter, all the heartache, all the joy, all the failures, all the success, all the mountaintops, all the valleys, all the sunshine, and all the clouds will all work together for good if I love God and if I'm doing His will. Listen carefully now. This is a sermon. It does not say that if I love God and do His will that He will change anything. Hear me carefully. It does not say He will change anything. It does not say that whatever was going to happen to me won't happen to me. It does not say that God will prevent something from happening to me that I think is uncomfortable and give me something that I think is comfortable. The truth is, in almost every case, It does not change a thing. Follow me carefully now. This statement. I cannot change what he does, but I can change how it will affect me. Did you hear me? If I love God, and if I do his will, that doesn't mean that I can. God's going to change what he does, but it will change how it affects me. Loving him and doing his will determines whether or not what he's going to do anyway will be for the good. Illustration, Job. Let's suppose that Job had not loved God. Let's suppose that Job had not done the will of God. Now when Job lost his health, lost his wealth, lost his children, lost his wife, lost everything, then we would, if Job had not loved God, we would never have known the term the patience of Job. And since we would never have known the term the patience of Job, then Job would never have been a blessing to mankind. And so all that happened would not have been for good. Hey, that's the dumb thing. I mean, brother, life's a veil of tears. Life's a veil of heartaches, sorrows, sadnesses, loneliness, bereavement, sorrows, heartbreak. But praise God, take all the heartbreak and all the sorrow and all the misery and all the tears and all the lonely nights and all the heartache and heartbreak and add them all together. Put love for God and do his will, and all those things will add up for good someday. If Job had not loved God, he would still have lost his wealth. He would still have lost his health. He would still have lost his children. He would still have lost his wife. And what a tragic thing to go through that kind of a misery and for it not to work out for good. Listen, folks. Let me tell you a story. In Texas, years ago, a young couple in our church had a cute little baby. The little baby was less than a year old, about a year old, maybe 11 months. That baby fell on his head. That little Moppet fell on his head, and he was a child. But that baby fell on his head. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Listen. They rushed the baby to the hospital. The baby was unconscious. He did regain consciousness, but he was in a vegetative state as long as I was in Texas. I have not seen the child in years. Don't know if he's living or dead. But that little child never responded to his mom. Oh, his eyes were open. You could feed him food. He'd eat it. He never smiled. He never talked. This precious couple, members of our church in Texas many years ago, got bitter, angry, mad at God. I can hear that lady saying, "Why did God do this? Why did God do this? I don't understand it. A good God wouldn't let this happen to our baby." Their lives were wrecked and ruined. They dropped out of church. Everybody that knew them was disgusted because of the way they took it. Let me tell you another story. A year ago, last March, we were sitting at a banquet table, Sheraton Hotel, banquet room, downtown Chicago, with the Colston. Ms. Colston was sitting there at the table. Ms. Hiles and I were there, and Dr. Curtis Hudson was there, and some others, around the table, out the front. All of a sudden, Brother Colston, somebody came whispered a word in his ear, and Brother Colston left the table. I asked Mrs. Colston what happened, and this was the story. One of our fine families had a little boy about 2 years old. He was missing. They searched, and they searched, and they searched, and they searched, and they searched. And they couldn't find him. And they continued their search and finally found him in the swimming pool, face down. They rushed him to the hospital. You know the story if you've been here. They rushed him to the hospital. Saved his life. been 14 months. Little boy never responds to anything. Two of our precious people grew up in First Baptist Church, went to our schools. Now for 14 months, that boy's been growing and growing, but he never smiles. He never responds. Oh, he eats, but never responds. Exactly like the boy that fell on his head many years ago in Texas. Now, wait a minute. There's a difference. An entire church has been blessed by Tim and Betty McCurdy. And it's spread across the nation. And God has used that to encourage people all across this country. And everywhere I go, somebody says, "How's the McCurdy baby?" And they'll say, "Boy, that young couple sure has taken that beautifully. What a blessing they've been to me." And I've had people by the dozen say, "If they can take what they're taking, I can take what I'm taking." I mean, the same thing happened. A little baby was injured. A little baby became a vegetative state. A little baby wouldn't respond. A little baby quit. We never have said a word. But one couple said, "We love God. We're going to do His will, and good has come." And the same thing happened to the other couple, and bad has come. What's your bad? How's your bad going to turn out? You got bad. I was thinking about my mother this morning, and I thought about this. You can take my mother's life and divide that life into sections. There's not one single good thing ever happened to my mother, except me. But my sister counteracted it. But wait a minute. Let's take her childhood. Let's see about that. Was that good or bad? Her mother died when she was a little girl. She had to become the housewife to cook and keep house. She was just a child for her father and two brothers. Childhood, zilch. Negative. Not the kind of child that anybody would want. Let's take the next little area of her life. Marriage. Because she had no mother, she married too young. Married a man who became an alcoholic. Married a man that left her to rear her children. Left her, at least to rear me. My sister was still... Dad left. She was already married. My mother's marriage was in no ways happy. Wait a minute. Listen to me. Area of childhood. Zilch. Marriage. Well, that's zilch. Let's go to this. How about children? First little child never walked or talked. First little child was a spastic child. Never turned over in bed. Never said mama. Never said daddy. Died when she was 7. Second child, lived to be 7, had the measles. Died with the after effects of the measles. She said, "I feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus," and she went to heaven in my mother's arms. Childhood? No. Marriage? No. Children? 2 out of 4 died before 8th birthday. Well, let's take her health. When my mother was in her late 30s, her teeth were rotten in her mouth. I mean black as coal. Looked like you'd chiseled a piece of coal and made teeth out of a piece of coal. In a dentist chair when she was 65, she had a heart attack. When my mother was a younger lady, she worked at in a lunchroom, and her hands would break out. She had an unbelievable breaking out in her hands. My mother was not a well woman. How about money? 12 years without a new dress, without a pair of shoes or a new hat. Now, each area of mother's life, her childhood, negative. Her marriage, negative. Children, negative. Health, negative. Finances, negative. I wonder how many people have been saved because of my mama. I've seen 750,000 people walk the aisles in my ministry. It didn't taste very good when her mother died when she was a child. It didn't taste very good when a little further, when she married a fellow who turned to liquor. It didn't taste very good when it hit her. It didn't taste very good when her little baby was born afflicted, her first child was born afflicted. It didn't taste very good when little Loreen died at 7. It didn't taste very good when Hazel died when she was 7. It didn't taste very good when their little store went bankrupt and they lost everything. It didn't taste very good when the depression came. It didn't taste very good when daddy left. It didn't taste very good when she had to go to work. It didn't taste very good when she got sick. It didn't taste very good, but hallelujah, praise God, glory to his name. The whole world has been blessed because of my mama and because God said, if you love me and do my will, everything will work together for good to those who love God. You, if you don't love God and do his will, you're crazy. You're crazy. I mean, you're crazy. I mean, you're like stupid. I mean, you're an idiot. I mean, you're a moron. Besides that, you don't have good sense. Listen to me. There's not a person in this room who's old enough to vote. But what doesn't cry yourself to sleep a lot of times? And there's not a person in this room that doesn't have heartaches and sorrows and burdens. We live in a vale of tears. We live in a funeral parlor, as it were. Say goodbye to those of the dearest. A man that preached here last night just said goodbye to his daddy, Dr. Curtis Hudson. Preached Friday night. When he got through preaching, called his daddy. He forgot he was gone. He always called him when he finished preaching. He said the phone was ringing before he realized his daddy wasn't at home. I've been living a while. I know something about life. I know what lonely nights are all about. I know what it's like to get up in the morning and wish you didn't have to face the day. I know what heartache is all about. I know what heartbreak is all about. But I believe that book with all of my heart. And God knows I love him. I doubt very seriously if there's a day of my life when I don't tell him 100 times I love him. And I don't just get in his will and squat and sit. I don't want to get in his will. I do his will. And I'm here to serve notice on you. It's going to taste good one of these days. The salt is not very good. The shortening has an awful taste. The baking powder and baking soda is not very palatable. But the hot biscuits sure are good. I said Romans 8:28 does not say what we think it says. It does not say all things work together for fun. It does not say all things work together for pleasure. It does not say that all things work together for prosperity. It does not say all things work together for health. It does not say all things work together for gain. It does not say all things work together for my idea of good. It does not say all things work together for my enjoyment. It does not say all things work together for good so that others can call it good. It does not say all things work together for present good. It does not say that all things work together for good in my lifetime. It does not say that God will change anything. It just means that whatever is going to happen to me, God's going to put it in a recipe that's going to do good someday. Now, let me tell you something. If this morning you love him and you're doing his will, get happy as a June bug on the last day of May. I mean, get happy. Say, bless God, man alive. I've said this so often. When I was up against a wall or didn't want to face a day, and sometimes walking out in front of a congregation across America and didn't want for a year, I wouldn't even look up at the congregation. I didn't want to see them. Boy, I was going back to my room many night and said, boy, I can't wait to see how God's going to make this turn out for good. The secret's to love Him. And the secret is to do His will. And if you do, somewhere, sometime, someplace, every one of those ingredients will blend together and bask in the oven of a loving God, and you'll eat the best hot biscuits you ever ate in your life. Our Heavenly Father.